All right, now we're up to chapter 15, and I want you to read with me verse 1. It says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." All right, now we come to chapter 15, and John, remember, he's the one that sees this revelation about Jesus Christ, and now he sees seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them, it said, is filled up the wrath of God. Now, when it says filled up the wrath of God, seven last plagues, what does it mean, the wrath of God? How do you fill up the wrath of God? In Revelation, what does it mean to fill up the wrath of God? Marion?
God's judgment is going to be fulfilled.
Okay, God's final wrath that he's going to pour out on this world is finally going to be finished. And the wrath of God started in chapter 8 and verse 1 of the book of Revelation when, remember that roll that was rolled up? You remember that? What's that called, that roll that was rolled up with a writing inside? Kim?
Scroll.
That's called a scroll. And it had seven ties or seals around it to keep it sealed. And the seals had to be broken. And once the seals are broken, then the wrath of God can be poured out on the earth. God, listen to me, God has not yet poured out his wrath on earth. We've got little pictures of it. When God sends a tornado or an earthquake or something like that, it's a little picture. Or a hurricane like Katrina, it's a little picture. But it's nothing like the direct wrath of God. When God pours out his wrath, it will be when that last of the seven seals is opened in the book of Revelation, and then the wrath of God will begin to be poured out. And when that last seal is opened, there are seven something that will happen, and each one of those things that will happen will be some of the wrath of God, some of the wrath of God. And what are those things that, once that last seal is broken, signal the wrath of God? Eric? Seven trumpet judgments. Seven trumpet judgments. And they will happen, listen to me, sometime during the second 3.5 years of the final 7 years that have not started yet, but they will start soon. We will be here for the opening of the seals because that's not the wrath of God. The last seal is open and that begins the wrath of God. We'll be here through all of those seals. All of those first six seals will be here for it. Sometime between the sixth and seventh seal, something is going to happen. What's going to happen before the trumpets, before the wrath of God? What big event is going to happen? It's talked about in Revelation chapter 7 before the wrath of God is poured out in chapter 8. What great event is that? Raise your hand if you know. Kim?
The tribulation.
No, not the tribulation. I mean, the tribulation will happen before the wrath of God, but that's not what I'm talking about. That will happen between the sixth and seventh seal. Eric?
The rapture.
The rapture. That's because it says in the Bible, if you are a saved person, if you have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ, he took your wrath already. He took the punishment for sin already. And you don't have any wrath from God. Now, God may spank you, God may chasten you, but he is not dealing with you as an enemy to pour out his wrath upon you. But if you're not safe inside of Jesus, if you have not taken shelter in Jesus by faith, then you will be, I don't care how good you are, I don't care how much you go to church, I don't care how many good things you do for people, it will not be able to stop the wrath of God from falling upon your life. It will fall upon you. The only safe place to be is inside of Jesus. Like Noah, he got inside of an ark, a boat, and it was the only safe place. Everybody else on earth died but those that were in that boat, and there were only 8 people. So I'm here to tell you today that Christ came the first time to die for us and rise again from the dead to give us a gift, and we must receive that gift. And if you don't receive that gift, then listen to me, if the wrath of God is poured out, you will be here and you will experience the wrath of God no matter who you are. And you'll then go to hell after that. Some people say, oh, the hell I have is on earth. There's no more hell for me. I've suffered it all on earth. No, you haven't. You have not suffered the wrath of God. You don't even know what it's like. And even those that go through the wrath of God and suffer all that, the Bible says they're still going to go to hell. There is a God who is a just God and he punishes sin, but he's a merciful God. He's a loving God, but he's only made one way to get saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you try to dial me on my cell phone, you can dial 575 and you can dial some other numbers. If you don't dial the numbers exactly right, you won't get me. You won't get my cell phone. Why? Because the phone company is exact. God is exact. He says there's only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. You have to accept him as your personal Savior. And if you haven't done that, I implore you to do it, because we are very close to the last 7 years. I don't know when they're going to start, but we're very close to those last 7 years. And so when the last seal is opened, then the seven trumpets will begin to blow during the second 3.5 years of the last 7 years. And the trumpets will continue to be blown right till the very end of the 7 years. And at the very end of the 7 years, Jesus is going to touch down on the earth in Jordan, and his people that have been hiding during the tribulation, which will start in the middle of the 7 years and go to the end, his people Israel that have been hiding, and the 144,000 that have been hiding in Jordan, he'll take them out of hiding, and he'll begin to march toward Jerusalem. And on the third day, the Jewish people that have gathered to follow him, that have been hiding, the Jewish nation, they will all accept him as their Savior. They'll get saved, and the whole nation of Israel will be saved at that time, and they'll follow Jesus, and he'll go up onto Mount Zion, which is the Temple Mount, where the temple has been, the Jewish temple. He'll go up on Mount Zion, on the Temple Mount, and on day 5, after the end of the 7 years, day 5, after the end of the 7 years, a final seventh trumpet is going to be blown. And listen, when that trumpet is blown, there's going to be an announcement made, and the announcement is going to say, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And what he's saying there is, I am going to now take over the earth. I've come back to earth, I'm going to take it over. And while he's there, is the Antichrist still here? Yes. While he's there on the Temple Mount with 144,000, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 talks about it. Is the beast, the European Union leader, still there? Yes. Are the United Nations still there with a one world economy that's coming together even as I'm talking to you? There's a meeting going on November 15th to bring about a one world economy. Did you know that? That the plan is to get rid of the U.S. dollar. There's going to be a one world currency. That's still going to be there. And he's going to come back, and within 30 days, less than 30 days, he is going to take over the earth. He's going to he's going to destroy the earth. He's going to destroy it. And he's going to take it over. And he's going to reign over the earth. And so that's called the reclamation period. It happens during the trumpet judgments. Now, here we are, Revelation 15. What day is it of the 30 days? He's on top of Mount Zion. The seventh trumpet has just been blown, according to Revelation 11. Chapter 12 deals with something else. Chapter 13 deals with something else. In chapter 14, we're preparing for this. And now chapter 15, you're going to have something happen on day 5 of the 30 days. And what is going to happen? The final wrath of God's going to be poured out. What is that going to be? What's that called? The final what? Eddie Brad?
That's called the three woes.
Well, no, not the three woes. That's the last three trumpet judgments. Last three trumpet judgments called the three woes. But what's that called?
Seven bowl.
Seven bowl judgments. They're the final wrath of God between day 6 and day 30. And the final seventh bowl is given a name. And what name is that called, Mary?
Would that be the Battle of Armageddon?
That's the Battle of Armageddon that you've heard about. That's the final end of it all. And God is going to be the victor. He's been fighting the devil for 6,000 years. You say, why is it taking God so long? I thought he was pretty tough. You see just how tough he is in the Battle of Armageddon. It takes him 1 second. He could have knocked Satan out in 1 second. That's how fast he could knock him out. You ever see a fighter come out, 15-round fight, knock the guy out in the first round? I used to watch boxing all the time. I was involved in some amateur boxing myself. I like to see a guy that can knock him out. I'll be honest with you. I like that. I like to watch those clips. I really do. I like to watch a good boxer, too. I'll be honest with you. I used to love to watch Muhammad Ali. I grew up in the Muhammad Ali era. I was a fan of his. I like to watch the way he could handle himself in a ring. But I like the knockouts. But God is going to knock Satan out. But listen, God he has a plan to make it last this long, and he's got a reason for it. And so, whose side are you on this morning? A lot of people say they're on the Lord's side, but they really aren't, because they're not really born again. And it's going to be determined whose side you're on very soon. What is going to separate who's who very soon during the last 7 years? It will determine whose side you're on. Cynthia?
But don't you take the mark of the beast?
Taking the mark of the beast. Taking the mark of the beast. And what that is the government is going to give you a debit card. Now listen to me, it could happen in my lifetime, it could happen in the next few years. The government is going to give you a debit card. How many of you know what a debit card is? You have a debit card? How many of you have a debit card? Okay, I have one. All right, now the government's going to give you a debit card. Now listen, when you get the debit card, you got to have money in the bank to back it up, right? Most of the money is electronic. Most of the money is electronic. It's not in paper bills. It's all going to be electronic at this time. There'll be no paper money at all. You have the debit card, and all you have to do is go to the doctor, present the debit card to the doctor, and the doctor will say to you, let me run your card through. Okay, you get this treatment, or you get that treatment. Whatever you need, everybody's covered. Everybody's covered. Universal health care. Okay, if you need food, you bring the card to the grocery store. You're covered. Now, you're only covered for so much, though. That's the problem. You're only going to be covered for so much, right? But you'll be covered for the food that you need. And eventually, there'll be plenty of food. But there'll be a Great Depression for a while there. But we're going into depression. But anyway, eventually, what's going to happen to that card? What's going to be the problem with that card? Huh?
It's going to break.
It's going to break. You're going to lose it. The government's going to say, you know, you're too dumb. We have to give that card to you in a way that you won't lose it. And so we're going to inject a little thing under your skin and your forehead or in your hand here. You won't be able to see it, but a computer can read it. And it will have all your information on there, and all your money that the government allots you. The government will give you the money, because they're going to own it all. But what the government allots you, that's what you're going to get. And all you have to do is you have to acknowledge that the head of the government is in control as God. He's the highest authority. Do you know what? When you do that, the Bible says you're damned to hell for sure, that you're not saved. And that will separate the saved from the lost, those that take the mark and those that don't, okay? And so, Revelation chapter 15 talks about the wrath of God, and he's going to pour out his wrath after this happens. Because, listen, the people that don't take the mark, that don't take that debit card in their hand or in their forehead, raise your hand if you know what's going to happen to you. What's going to happen to you? Nancy?
The people who don't take it are
tortured
and condemned. And
well, why won't you take universal health care? Why won't you take free food for your whole family? Why won't you do that, Nancy? Why not?
Because I'm saved.
Right.
I want to go to heaven.
Okay. All right. What do you have to do to get that card, Michael?
What do you have to do to get that card? Receive the mark of the beast in your hand or forehead.
Yeah, and to do that, you've got to acknowledge him as what?
Supreme
being. He's higher than, he is the most supreme being. Now, he won't necessarily say, I am God in heaven. He'll just say, I am the highest authority in your life. I'm a man. I'm just a man. But I've come to the highest evolutionary point of man. I am the most evolved man. I am the highest evolved man there is. And so this is what maybe you could be, but I'm here, and so I'm the highest authority in your life. So give me the credit as being the highest authority. Let no other authority be higher than me. And you do it. By the way, when you vote for somebody in an election and they're going against God's commandments, you're saying they're higher than God. And I feel sorry for you, because you're already in trouble. Okay? Now, I'm going to leave that to God to deal with you. But I'm just going to say, because the election booth is a private place, but I'm just going to say to you, God holds us accountable. And you say, well, what if I can't vote for either candidate? Then don't vote. Vote for Jesus and pray. But what I'm saying to you today is that there's coming a day when the whole world is going to go as a whore and is going to sell out to a false god in the form of a man because he's got the money. And hey, it's my family. I'll just sell out. I'll play the whore. Sorry. Sorry. The only thing is that will cost you, because then you can't get saved once you do that. Okay? It's impossible to be saved once you do that. It's too late. All right. So these are strong words, but we're living in times very close to that time. Look at verse 2. It says, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." Now this is moving to heaven, and it's during this time of day 5 of the 30 days. Now we're in heaven, and it's talking about people that have gotten the victory over the beast, over his image or his statue, over his mark or that computer chip that we just talked about, over the number of his name. There's a certain number that registers of his name. They've gotten the victory, and they're in heaven, and they're standing on this sea of glass. Who are these people that are up there standing there with the harps of God playing with these instruments up there? Who are these people? Raise your hand if you know. They've gotten the victory. Marion?
Those that were raptured.
Those that were raptured. Those that were raptured. Because they didn't take the mark. And not only didn't they take the mark, because they were born again. They accepted Jesus. And they were raptured. And so they're up there now. And they got the victory over the beast. Now, if you get the victory over the beast and you get raptured, what does that mean for you while you're on earth? Well, number one, it means you don't take his mark. Number two is you don't acknowledge him as the supreme being, and you don't take his mark. So you don't get food from him. You don't get food from his government. Well, where do you get your food then? Well, either you don't get it or God gives it to you. He provides it. God's got more than one way to do it. Now, will everybody be killed that don't take his mark? Raise your hand if you know. Angel? No. Some people won't be killed. You say, who won't be killed? Those that God protects. The Bible says that he'll keep some people safe in the middle of that time, and he'll deliver them out of that time. Remember the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? They were in the middle of the fire, but God kept them safe and delivered them out of that fiery furnace, and they weren't burned. There'll be people that will be saved and kept safe. There'll be other people that will be faithful to the Lord, and they'll know they're going to give up their lives, and they know they're going to get arrested, but they'll be not afraid, because they'll know that the Lord will take them right to heaven. There'll be some people that are saved. Listen to me. There'll be some people that are saved, but they've been compromising with the world, and they've been given into the world. And so these people that are giving into the world and that are compromising, they're going to be like totally surprised when they see this man who is the beast, and he's going to set up this economic system where you have to give worship to him to get the mark. And they're going to be totally confused, and they're going to be like, well, I haven't prepared for this. I'm not ready for this. But listen to me, if they're saved, they'll be caught by him, they'll be killed by him, but they'll still go to heaven. But they'll lose out in the judgment seat of Christ because they haven't lived for him and prepared and walked with him as they ought to have before that happened. And so it's very important to realize, though, that all of these people that are saved are here, and they're praising God in heaven, and they're safe in the arms of the Lord. And I think of how many times in my life I could have backslid so far I went right back into the world and lived for the devil, but I can't do that. You know why I can't do that? Why can't a true child of God backslide so far you just blend in with the world and give into the world and are overtaken by the world so that you live just like you were before you were saved? Marion?
Well, because you have the seal of the Holy Spirit upon you, and he brings you back.
There, you hear what she said? You have God's mark on you. And what's God's mark? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. That's God's stamp. That's the indwelling of the Spirit of God is inside of you and is in your life. And you cannot go back to the world. You might be tempted to go back. Your flesh tempts you to sin. You may fall into sin. You may get messed up. But you cannot go back to the world because God's mark is upon you. But listen to me. If you're not born again, listen. You might play the game, but when it comes to the point of taking that computer chip and getting that food and getting that medical care, you will give in to the beast. The Bible says it's going to be so powerful that only the elect will not be deceived. Otherwise, even the elect would be deceived. Even the child of God would get deceived during that time. There's going to be strong, lying falsehood, and people are going to all get caught up in it. And you know, the farther we get along and the closer we get to the end, it's amazing to me how Christians that claim to be Christians, that claim to be born again, lack discernment. They can't seem to tell right from wrong. They can't seem to know what to take a stand for and what to take a stand against. And it's sad when that happens. And sometimes a person just plain lacks discernment, the inability to choose right from wrong because they lack what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge because they lack the Holy Spirit. He does not indwell them. And so they don't make the right choices. And that's what separates us, being born again. And so these are the people that were truly born again in verse 2. And verse 3, look at chapter 15, it says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Now, why are they singing two songs, the song of Moses and the Lamb? Why do you think they're singing those two songs? Marion?
The Old Testament songs and the New Testament songs.
She got it. When the rapture happens, all those that believed in Christ before he came the first time that were saved will also be raptured. That means Abel will be raptured. That means Noah will be raptured. That means Abraham will be raptured. That means, not Elijah, he's up there. That means all those Old Testament saints, Moses will be raptured. And they'll all be raptured. And how were people saved before Christ came? How were people saved that lived and offered the sacrifice under Moses and that kept the Ten Commandments and that followed the Old Testament law? How were those Israelites saved before that? Angel?
Just believing in God instead of...
All right. They believed in God, but they believed in something God was going to do. Eric?
They put their faith in the Christ that was to come.
Ah, he got it. They put their faith in the Christ that was to come, that was being portrayed by the offering of the sacrifices of the law, that was being portrayed by the tabernacle and was being talked about by the prophets. They were putting their faith for what they knew in the Christ that was to come, and they were saved by that. Now, also, we have the New Testament saints that since Christ came, they have believed in him. And we're all going to be together in heaven praising God. You think that's going to be a pretty big company? I think that's going to be a pretty big company of people. Here's the question. Will you be there? If you're not saved, you won't be there. And you can't get saved unless you personally come to Christ and call upon him to wash your sins away. And you only have to do that once and for all and believe that the Lord Jesus died to pay for the sins of the world. And if you're one of those people in the world that wants to be saved and you're willing to put your trust in him to wash your sins away and to come into your life, he'll do it and be your Lord and Savior. But you have to accept him. After you get saved, what outward mark does God want you to put on yourself? You don't need that mark to get into heaven, but God wants you, if you're going to be obedient to him, to have an outward mark put on you once you get saved. Thank you. And what, you know why I wanted everybody close now. Yes?
Baptism?
Yeah, water baptism. To be dipped under the water. I believe today there's some people that got saved, and after I preach, they'll come forward and they'll be baptized. Baptism isn't saving them, but they're saying, I'm already saved. I've already put my faith in Christ, and now I want his mark on me. I want the world to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus. Listen, if I were you, I'd do that. I'd be obedient to God. If you've been saved, you need to get baptized after you're saved. Now, if you're baptized before you get saved, that doesn't count. I have a wedding ring on. I can take it off. I'm still married. I'm still married. Let's say I put this ring on when I'm a 12-year-old kid. Would I be married because I got a wedding ring on? No. I'm only married when I say I do to my wife and say the vows, and then the wedding ring means something. It's just a symbol of marriage. It's not marriage itself. It's a symbol. Baptism is a mark that symbolizes that you're saved. And once you're saved, then you should put on the mark. You should get baptized right away. All right? And so the devil wants his mark on you. And if you're not saved, he'll get you. And things are moving together right now for a one world government. There's going to be a one world money system. All the nations of the earth are coming together today, November 15th, in Washington, D.C., to have to plan our one world money system. Your dollar is not going to be your final money system. And all the world is coming together, and the devil wants to put his mark on you if you're going to use all the benefits of what the world has. But listen, if you're saved, God said, I got my mark on you. I don't want you putting the world above me. I don't want you putting the world above Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's go to verse 4. It says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. You know what they're saying here? What are they saying here in verse 4? Who are they jealous of? Who are they concerned about that he's not been getting the glory on earth that belongs to him? What is the problem there, Marion?
The unsaved, those that don't recognize.
All right. They're saying in heaven, these are the believers in heaven, they're saying, hey, everybody should fear you, God. They shouldn't be taking the mark of the beast. They shouldn't be fearing him. You say, I think maybe you should fear him. He's got all the power. He's got all the money. He's got all the medical supplies. He's got, well, he doesn't have all of it. God is able to supply. He took care of Elijah in the time of famine. He took care of the Daniel in the lion's den. Listen, the devil's man has power, but God has all power. And you need to realize that you need to put God first and trust God. And what they're saying is, Lord, you have seen what the beast has done. You've seen how people claim to be Christians, but they took his mark and they worshiped him. And now, look, you've judged them. You poured out your trumpet judgments. You've been pouring out your judgments. And now, Lord, you're going to pour out your final judgments. And after all those judgments come upon the world and all of the unsaved are destroyed and put in hell, then it says that the rest of the people that are left, that are saved, they're going to worship the Lord. They're going to come to him. All the nations that are left that have been saved are going to come to him that still live on the earth, because there are people that are going to survive all of this stuff, and they're going to be saved, and they're going to still make it. You say, well, how are they going to hear the gospel after the rapture? We already studied that in chapter 14. What did God do to give one last opportunity for some people to get saved that don't have the mark of the beast after the rapture, during the time after after the trumpet judgments are done? Eric?
He had an angel flying through the heavens with the everlasting gospel.
He had an angel flying through the heavens, right, Eric, with the everlasting gospel. And he's saying, now I'm going to give you one more chance to get saved. And some people are going to get saved. And then they're going to survive, and they're going to go into the kingdom of our Lord after he destroys the earth, and they're going to have their babies, and they're going to worship the Lord, and they're never going to take the mark of the beast. They're going to get saved. And also, there's going to be a sheep and a goat judgment when the Lord comes back, and he's going to save the sheep at that time and give them the understanding to accept him when he comes back, and they're going to be saved. And all those people that are saved are going to worship the Lord during the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. They're all going to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. Now, that's not talking about you and I. If we're saved now, we won't be living on the earth like they will in our bodies. We will be living in the city called the New Jerusalem that will be just on the highest mountain, Mount Zion, that will be perched above the earth on top of Mount Zion. And then we'll come to the earth during the day and work here, but we'll live in the New Jerusalem. All right, very interesting. All right, yes, Jim, you had a question?
Curious, do you feel Palestine and Israel will be in peace before this happens?
Do I believe they'll be in peace?
Now, present day of our lives, this world today, come in peace, a peaceful nation.
Okay, good question. Yeah, Isaiah 28 and verse 15, and Isaiah 28. Speak about a covenant or a peace agreement that the nation of Israel is going to make with the head of the European Union, who will be the beast, but he will be disguised. They won't know he's the beast at the beginning of the 7 years. And they will have peace for a time. It will last probably less than a year. And then the red horse of war will happen. There'll be a great Middle East war. Probably the war when Iran and Russia and the Gog and Magog war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 invades into the Middle East. But there will be a brief time of peace. Israel will be able to rebuild their temple. When that happens, we'll enter into these last 7 years. And that's what we're watching for. We're not there yet, but we're getting ever so close to the end time events, all right? And by the way, there could be a war between Iran and Israel before this. There could be an attack by Israel upon Iran. I very likely would say that there could be an attack by Israel upon Iran during this month of November or December and before the inauguration of Barack Obama. I believe it could happen because I think the Israelites want to attack Iran. And they'd rather have it with Bush in there than Obama. So I think they'll do it. Now, will it be successful? I think it may be somewhat successful. But I think what will happen is that Iran is just going to be angry. And there's going to be this great invasion into Israel later on after this false peace. So watch for some kind of a flare-up and then for a false peace. Israel allowed to rebuild their temple. And then all of these events are going to happen. Boom, boom, boom. By the way, if you want to click on to some interesting reading, go on to our website, ScrantonRevivalBaptist.org, and you could click on to Prophecy Watch and get updates of this. You can also click on to Pastor's Revelation Notes and read the notes on this. And you can also click on to audio sermons or audio archives and get the whole study here. It'll help you to go over these things. Because listen to me, I'll be honest with you, a lot of Christians are not teaching, they're not teaching that we who are saved are going to be here when that peace treaty is signed. That we're going to be here when Israel's given the right to rebuild their temple. That we're going to be here when that great war starts in the Middle East and the famines and the Great Depression happens that Revelation 6 talks about. Yes, we will be here. And by the way, they teach we won't be here when the great tribulation happens. And we won't have to face the beast and the Antichrist. And we won't have to refuse his mark. And they are so wrong. They think that's the wrath of God and we'll be out of here before all that. And they're misteaching God's people. And so I'm saying, you know, get on that website as long as we're able to have it. Make use of it and keep reading the book of Revelation and studying it because you need to be spiritually prepared. It's not so much physically you need to be prepared. There's nothing wrong with that, having some gold and some silver and some food and all that stuff and a cabin in the woods for it to go to if you need to during the tribulation. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, ultimately God's going to protect you or not. All right? So you need to be spiritually prepared. That's the most important thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be spiritually prepared. And it troubles me, frankly, when I see Christians in the United States, they will sell out all of their convictions for some man that promises them, I'll give you this or I'll give you that. And they don't care about what the Bible says. And that's troubling because that's exactly what's going to happen when the Antichrist and the beast get together. They're going to just give up putting God in his place and they'll put man in God's place. All right, let's go down a little bit more. We got a little more time. We're almost out. It says in verse 5, and after that I looked and behold the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Now look at this. What is the tabernacle of the temple in heaven that's going to be opened? And by the way, when that's opened, there's something inside of that tabernacle, the testimony in heaven. Does anybody know what the testimony is? What is the testimony? Anybody know what that is in heaven? Joe?
Let me take a guess. The book of life?
No. You remember in the Old Testament when Moses built the Ark of the Covenant? How many have heard of the Ark of the Covenant? You know about the Ark of the Covenant. All right. You know that it was made of acacia wood and there was a top that was gold, a golden top called the mercy seat. And there's two angels, cherubim, the symbols of two angels, one on each side with their wings that touch in the middle. And God lived right in that ark. Well, what was inside of the ark? What was inside the ark?
The Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments, the tablets that God wrote on. They're called the testimony. They're called the testimony. Now listen, That ark that was on earth was hidden in 586 BC, and it hasn't been seen again. It may be discovered. It may lead to the temple worship. It may not. I don't know for sure. But this ark, I don't believe, is the earthly ark with the Ten Commandments that Moses had. It's the ark in heaven. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, that what Moses had was like a copy. All right? I can make a copy on the copy machine, but it's not the original. What Moses made in the tabernacle and Solomon made in the temple and the ark that was made on earth, that is a copy of what's in heaven. And that ark is going to be seen in heaven. Now, why do you think that ark is going to be seen at this time? And why is that ark seen? Well, because the ark is a symbol of God's power and God's presence. And what God is saying is, now I'm ready to take over the earth again. And so I'm going to show my ark. I'm going to show my power. Because what I'm going to do in taking over the earth is going to come from me. I'm the one that's going to take the power back from the devil. And I'm going to exercise my power. And God's waited 6,000 years to do that. Now, we're going to come to the end of this, but I want you to see where we're going for next week. Look at verse 6. It says, "And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever." Now, seven angels are going to pour out that wrath. By the way, God uses his angels to pour out his wrath. God uses angels, by the way, to rapture us. Do you know he's going to send his angels to bring us to heaven before the wrath of God's poured out? But he uses angels to pour out his wrath, sound the trumpets and pour out the bowls of wrath. Who are those four beasts, though? Anybody remember who they are? They were back in chapter 4 and chapter 5. We studied about what's going on in heaven. Yeah, Marion?
Are they four angels?
They're four high-ranking angels called seraphim. They're in Isaiah. They're right next to the throne of God. They have eyes all over. They have six wings. And they just go before God with two wings. They fly. Two, they cover their face. Two, they cover their feet. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy." They worship God. They praise God. Those angels, those high-ranking angels called four beasts here, give unto the seven angels the golden vials full of the wrath of God. They're handing over now and saying, "Okay, now you're going to pour out the wrath of God." It just reminds us that everything is coming from God's throne. God is in control. He's all-powerful. So who should we worship? Who should we fear? Who's the one that can put you in hell? Who's the one that can put you in heaven? Who's the one that can save you? And so we should worship God. But man wants us to worship him. And so men are right now, they're planning to take control of all of our money. Have you noticed how President Bush basically seems to be taking orders from Paulson? And who's Paulson taking orders from? He's taking orders from international bankers that have the gold and the silver and they're cornering it. They want to control our money. Because they want you to worship them. They want the control. And they're greedy. The love of money is the root of all evil. They want to control. Now, they know to do that, they've got to give the people something. And so they're going to give the governments the power to give the people their needs and have this utopian socialistic society all over the world where everybody's going to be taken care of. Whatever happened to the America of the Constitution, it is gone. It is already gone. I'm sorry. I'm going to pronounce it's dead. And all I can say to you is what happened recently in Washington convinces me the power is not with the people and with the Constitution. So we're at another stage, friends. And what I'm saying to you is the events of the coming of the Lord draw nigh. Your faith had better be in the God of the Bible. Your faith had better be in Jesus Christ because it's going to be tested. And if it is, it won't fail, because God will see you through. He will walk with us through these times, and He will help us through these times. And we're going to look next week at the seven final judgments that God is going to use. Listen, I'm going to just say this. He's going to use these final judgments to totally destroy the works of man. All this that the world has built up, He's going to destroy them so that He can then clean up the earth and set up His kingdom. And what a kingdom that's going to be. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the book of Revelation. Help us, Lord, to keep reading it, studying it, and hearing it, and doing what it says. And Lord, we pray that You strengthen our faith, that we would be those that overcome the beast and overcome the Antichrist and overcome Satan and walk with You, we pray. And Lord, if somebody's not saved yet, I pray that today would be the day they accept Jesus Christ. In His name we ask it. Amen.